Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Last week, I talked to you about how to approach 2021 and the kind of attitude we will need to be able to face yet this unforeseeable future. In the meantime, that attitude, as I've said last week, is the attitude of zeal, the determined, diligent, enthusiastic pursuit of God and His kingdom. Last week, I gave you a message on the last woman standing, the life of Rahab, a woman who had everything going against her, and yet she made a stand and out of zeal and the zeal of God saw her future unfold before her. As I move on to this message, I want to reference what you all know is a popular English rhyme, Humpty Dumpty. You probably have heard this before, and if you haven't, let me read it to you. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. History tells us that there are two suspects to who Humpty Dumpty is. One is King Richard III, who lost his ascendancy in a war. The second is a man named Thomas Wolsey, who was a cardinal in the courts of Henry King VIII, who was also unseated from power. Humpty Dumpty fell and was fragmented. And that's pretty much the way our world looks like right now. And it's hard to assemble or reconnect parts that have been fragmented. Our schedules have been fragmented. Our life rhythms have been fragmented. Our jobs have been fragmented. Relationships, our health, even our church has been fragmented. Our finances, and in some cases, even nations, as we see in America. And as a result, our own confidence is fragmented. When things become fragmented, the only way we can repair that is through zeal, the determined, diligent, enthusiastic pursuit of God and His kingdom. Judges chapter 6, verse 1, which is the text I'm looking at today, begins with the story of the Israelites who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because of the power of the Midianites was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, in caves, and in strongholds. They couldn't overpower the Midianites, and it was so oppressive. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living for Israel. Neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. Everything was just stripped and ruined, the land. And these guys were not just ruining, they were literally camped there. And nothing was left that was living for them. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they begin to cry out to the Lord. Notice the word impoverished, fragmented. They've lost just about everything that was usually a way of living for them, that they cried out to God. I want to pose a question that all of us are probably going to be asking at the beginning of this year. Is this the one? This is the question that everybody's asking at the beginning of every year. Is this the one, meaning, is this the one that, Lord, you want me to focus on? Is this the job or the career you want for me? Is this the school for me or for my children? Is this the person I should marry? Is this the one? Is this the investment I should put my money on? Is this the doctor who's supposed to treat me with my disease? Is this the treatment I need? On and on and on. It's the same question we keep asking God, and we all want to know, is this the one? In verse 7 and 8, it continues, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, they sent him, or rather, he sent them a prophet. He sent them a prophet who basically told them why this was happening. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. I received you from the hand of the Egyptians. I rescued you, rather, from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you did not listen to me. The question that is before us, more than is this the one, is are you the one who listens to God? Finding the answer to the question we all want to ask, is this the one, starts here. Because no matter how many times you ask the question, is this the one, the real question is, are you the one who listens? Further, it goes on in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came after the prophecy of the prophet, the angel of the Lord, God sends this angel, and he sat down under the oak of Oprah, not Oprah Winfrey, that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. where his son Gideon, this is the character we're looking at, was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Notice, this is the man, Gideon, and he was threshing in the wheat in the winepress. This is an uncommon occurrence. You do not thresh wheat in a winepress. You actually thresh wheat in the open so that you can spread out all the chaff that you needed to get out of the wheat. The reason why he was doing it in the winepress was because he was afraid the Midianites might see him, and as a result of that, he will have more devastation. They will rob him. They could possibly even kill him. As I thought through illustrating this part of fragmentation, I was reminded of this man that I met in 2008. He was 34 years old when I first met him, and his name's Adrian. Adrian was full of promise. He was a career executive. His wife was in the oil and gas industry, and they both were doing very well. But 8 years later, Adrian would fall into the crutches of a bad lifestyle and very severe choices. Choices that would end his marriage in divorce. Choices that would end him in debts and, more than that, despair. Adrian would find himself officially divorced in 2016. Fragmented, if you may, attempting to go back to his wife, and his wife kept saying, no, I don't want you to come back. And as a result of that, became more desperate. Now, back in Judges chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I want you to understand something very important here. Many times when we ask the Lord for what is this, the one, the real thing we need to understand is, can we hear God? Can we hear God in the midst of asking, is this the one? And what is it that we need to hear? He's more committed to you than you are to him. In the midst of the Israelites and Gideon himself, not committed to God, he says, you are, the Lord is with you. I am committed to you, mighty warrior. Notice where it says in verse 13, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Now, watch what happens here. A valid question. If you are with us, why is all of this happening to us? When all his wonders that our ancestors told us, he's talking to the angel here about what they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? He's asking a fair question here, which brings me to the point. Do you hear God and realize he's more committed to you than you are to him? But even more importantly, even when things don't make sense. We need to understand that in the start of this year, we need to understand and hear the voice of God more than is this the one, that he is more committed to us than we are to him, and more importantly, even when things don't make sense. Adrian was attempting to get back to his wife, and every time he attempted, he got more frustrated because his wife would tell him, work on your life first. More importantly, she said, if after 3 years you still, I love this part. I love women who push back and don't allow themselves to be trampled down by men. If after 3 years you still love me, you can come and court me again. And Adrian, in the midst of all of that, became desperate and realized, actually he told me, he said he was wondering, what if after 3 years you've fallen in love with someone else? Well, bully for you. You shouldn't have done what you did in the first place. Point being, answering the question, is this the one, starts with hearing God and understanding, I'm more committed to you than you are to me. More importantly, even when things don't make sense, I'm still committed to you. Verse 14 says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have. This is interesting. God knows that he's weak. God knows he's afraid. And God says, no, you're strong. And go do this thing. After all the questions he's asked, God says, go and do it. And save Israel out of the Midian's hand, and am I not sending you? Interesting. God does not tell Gideon the specifics of what he was going to do. He just tells him, go. Go and do this thing. I am sending you. Now, what happens next in verse 15 is, pardon me, my Lord, and Gideon asks the angel after all his question, after all the things that God has said, but how can I save Israel when my clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family? Basically, what he was saying was, not only answering the question, is this the one? When you're starting with a fragmented life, you also have to understand that God believes in you even though you don't believe in yourself. When God sets a course for 2021, what he gives us is a compass. He shows us that the compass is directed towards the true north, of seeking Him first and nothing else. The purpose of that compass is to guide us in the direction we should go without necessarily knowing exactly which is the one. What we do know is that God is committed to us, that even when things don't make sense, He's still going to be committed to us, and more importantly, even when we don't believe in ourselves. The reason why this is important is because compasses will give you the direction, but they won't tell you that there's going to be a road closed in front of you or a detour. And only when you know that God is committed to you will you be able to overcome the jams, the accidents in life. Sometimes the compass will tell you where to go, and then you realize there's a raging wild river in front of you and you need to learn how to swim or put a rope over, because that's the excitement of 2021. Maybe it will actually be a rock face you have to climb or go around. Point being, more than asking, is this the one, can you hear Him say to you, I'm more committed to you than you realize. Even when things don't make sense, I'm still committed to you. And He believes in you, even though you don't believe in yourself. Now, farther down the story in chapter 7, verse 1, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, now that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of the Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. The words, you have too many men, is actually a picture of zeal. Zeal is never and not about numbers. On a personal note, don't run with the crowd. Find the Lord's zeal, and at some level even separate you from the crowd, and to know that I am headed towards the north, because God is more committed to me than I am to Him, because God is committed to me even when things don't make sense, and God believes in me more than I believe in myself. Now in verse 2 it says, I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, because they're just going to end up boasting and they think that it's their strength that did it, when the reality is they can't even possibly survive the year. Verse 3 says, now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. Interesting. Anyone who has fear may turn back and leave. Mark off a lack of zeal. Zeal overcomes our fears. When we know and are in pursuit of God, we lose and the fear around us drops dead. Now it says 22,000 men left. See, God sifts those who are zealous from those who are not. And while all the 22,000 men left, there were only 10,000 that remained. Point number two is, more than is this the one, are you the one? The question is, are you full of fear and fearful, or are you faithful, full of faith to know, now what? You may be a student and you just graduated. And are you fearful or are you faithful? Are you full of faith to know that as I'm starting this year, I can hear? God is for me and not against me. That despite the things that I may not understand and may not make sense, God is with me and is committed to me. And more importantly, He thinks I'm great. Start every year, as I started in 2019, coming into 2020, believing what I believe. It's no different from 2020 to 2021. The stability of your year and your life begins with you understanding, I'm going to be filled with faith and not filled with fear. Fearful or fear faithful. That's the starting point. I had a moment with Adrian just recently, and he described to me the years of his fragmentation, full of fear of the future, fear of relationships, jobs, being reminded of generational curses that came down from his family line. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. Fortunately for him, there was a man that he met whose name was Daniel. Daniel started to disciple him and helped him have courage to face the issues and to answer things that was confronting him. To before yet you can actually get back to crystal, ask yourself, am I the one? Sometimes we keep wanting to have God answer, is this the one, when we should be asking ourselves, am I the one? In verse 4 it says, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down the water and thin them out. For I will thin them out for you there. Now, God has a way of sifting the zealous from the not, the committed from the involved. There's a difference from people who are committed and people who are just involved. And he says, the Lord said to Gideon, take them there and I will thin them out for you there. I'm gonna separate the guys, because here's the problem. When you just have people who are involved, they're actually going to be a liability for you when the fighting really starts. In verse 4, it says, if I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate. Watch that word, separate. Those who lap with the water from their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. Interesting. Basically, both of these were using their tongues to drink, but one was people who didn't really separate themselves from the people who were just trying to be a part and involved. Notice where it says 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs, and the rest got down on their knees to drink. When you get down on your knees to drink, basically you let go of your weaponry. And the 300 who just knelt a little bit and cupped it like a dog, meaning basically what that meant was they were always going to be ready. They were careful to watch what they were doing. Are you the one full of fear or full of faith? Or are you the one who's careless? Or are you the one who's careful? Adrian, as I talked to him, began to talk to me about his daughters and how their lives were devastated because of the divorce. He began to realize that his carelessness affected his parents, his siblings, his work. Carelessness is something we don't often look at. We nonchalantly go through life thinking that if we'll just be faithful, but we're not careful to attend to the little mini details. Zeal looks at everything and turns every stone and makes sure that every place that you're walking in is covered. Because God knows that if you're going to make it through 2021, you're going to have to be full of faith, and you're going you have to actually care. Care about the people around you. Care about the things he's entrusted to you. Care about the things that matter to God. Now, the Lord said to Gideon, with these 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. He said, I don't really need a lot. I just need the guys that are committed. I need the guys who are full of faith, who know that I believe in them, that no matter if it doesn't make sense, the people that know that I'm committed to them. And more importantly, I need people who are full of faith and who are careful. The rest, you can send them home. We're just going to pick them up later on. Right now, we need the people who will fight. Fearful, faithful, careless, or careful. And finally, take flight or fight. The reason why I say this is because the scriptures tell us that these men were ready to fight and not just get involved. When I was talking to Adrian about his family, I saw this picture of his wife and his two children. The reality is, it's not, is this the one? Is, are you willing to fight for the one? It's not having a perfect person, because if you're going to marry somebody, and you always ask, is this the one? There will always be a reason why he or she's not the one. The question is, will you be zealous enough to fight for the one? The question is, will you do what you need to do and not be fearful, but fearless and faithful? The question is, will you be careless or careful to attend to what needs to be done and fight for this year? That's the difference between the people who will make it this year and people who will not. And people will go through the same year being involved, but not committed to God. Zeal. In chapter 7, verse 8, it says, now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp, because I'm going to give them into your hand. This is a very interesting verse. Now, this guy started out as a fearful man who was hiding, wasn't convinced about God, actually tested God. By the way, tonight, go home, read the entire chapter 6, 7, and 8. It's a beautiful story of this man. More than just listening to this message, go and read your Bible. And he says, get up and go down. Literally, go down to the camp. I mean, this guy was running away. Now he's being told, go down. And if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp. In other words, charge and bring your servant Pua and listen to what they're saying. And watch how committed I am to you. Afterward, when you will be encouraged to attack the camp, so he and Pua, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. They just went there. Now, notice this. It says the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could be no more counted than the sands of the seashore. That is phenomenal. But actually, he's got 300 men, and he walks over to that camp, and he sees all of these 100,000 people. How in the world can I even win this? But Gideon arrived, just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such a force that the tent overturned and collapsed. It's funny. I can imagine Gideon giggling and God showing him, I'm going to use a barley bread to topple these 100,000 people. And God's just showing him that the remnants of my table are enough to destroy all these armies. That is the power of our God. Verse 14 says, his friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Only God can do this. When we trust in God, when we understand and listen to God saying, I am more committed to you, I am committed to you whether you understand it or not, I believe in you more than you believe in yourself. If we change our fears into faith, if we become careful to check the details of our lives, and if we're willing to fight, God will fight for us. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. He's a changed man now. The Lord has given the Midianite camp. He's looking at this 100,000 people with 300 men. And he's telling them, get up. It's time to fight. We're not taking flight. And here's the final question. It's not, is this the one? Are you the one? Is God the one? Is he the one who encourages you? In the case of Gideon, was encouraged because of God's making a way for him. He begins to say, watch me. Watch me. Boldness has come into his life. Follow my lead. I'll get to the edge of the camp and do exactly as I do. The funny thing about this entire story is that these guys didn't even have weapons. All they had were torches and trumpets and jars. But you see, when God is with you, he can do things that are impossible. He can make a way where there is no way. He can eliminate roadblocks and give you the ability to scale a mountain because that's who he is. In verse 22, it says, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other and they ended up killing each other. Here's the point. Is God the one who encourages you, who causes things to work for you? If we're going to see 2021 fulfilled, we need to walk in that understanding that God is the one. The armies fled to Beth Shittah towards Zerah as far as the border of Abel-Meholah and near Tabah. The army fled, basically. That's the point. The point is when God is with you, he not only encourages you, he not only causes things to work together for you, he gives you the victory. It's the God who gives you the victory that we serve. I had a coffee with Adrian and asked him for a picture of how things are going. And I said, how did 2020 go? He said, Pastor Joey, it is the best year yet. Spiritually, I've grown even more. Relationally, our marriage is thriving. My kids are thriving because I'm not traveling as much because of COVID. Physically, I've lost 7 kilos. And financially, it is our best year yet. The point being, is this the one really starts with, do you understand that God is more committed to you than you are of him? Do you understand that even when things don't make sense, he is still committed to you? And finally, he believes in you more than you believe in yourself. The key to ask next is, are you the one? Are you full of fear or are you full of faith knowing that you've heard from God? Are you being careful about the details and the nuances that God has entrusted to you? And finally, will you fight and not take flight? And realize that God is there for you. He is the God who will encourage you throughout the year, the God who will cause things to work together for you, and finally, the God who will give you the victory. As I end this moment on meditating on the Word of God, I want to talk to you about proclaiming Jesus. I want to ask you to pick up a bread and pick up a cup, the ways of remembering who Jesus is for us, and follow me in this short word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are the one, our one true north, the one who reminds us you are committed to us regardless of what we see, hear, or think. Our prayer is that you will cause us to be one who will be faithful, careful, and who will fight. Jesus, we declare that this year, like every year, will be the year of your encouragement as you cause all things to work together for our good. We declare that this year is yet another year of victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.